This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this. Chris Herndon. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
Sorry for the unpaid ad, but that is Things Go Better with Coke, subtitled A Man and a Woman by Otis Redding. I don't even remember the details of why he recorded like a 2-minute long like soul music Coke jingle.
This is a Coke commercial.
Yeah. So if you listen to it, he's talking about Coca-Cola. He's thinking about Coca-Cola with passion. Anyway, that's FedEx Forum now, a Coca-Cola building, so that's what that's about.
Yeah, we'll talk about food here. Chris did the food tour of FedEx Forum yesterday. First of all, do you care about Coke versus Pepsi?
I do. I'm trying to, like, do none of the above for, you know, health reasons or whatever, but I subbed on our Table Talk newsletter this week. I wrote that this morning. One of the things I wrote in there was, I'm the guy who, like, at a restaurant, if I order a Coke and the server says, is Pepsi okay? My response is, Dr. Pepper. Because the Pepsi is not okay. And so there's a very big difference between a Coke and a Pepsi, and I like a Coke and I don't like a Pepsi.
So
this is a major upgrade for me.
You get Dr. Pepper if they don't at a Pepsi place.
Yeah, I might get Dr. Pepper anyway. Dr. Pepper is one of these things that in some places is a Coke product, in some places it's a
really?
Pepsi product. So Dr. Pepper is not, if you go to FedEx Forum now, they'll have Mr. Pibb.
You've come to the right place, gentlemen.
What?
It's all based on who distributes.
Right.
Dr. Pepper in a given
so Dr.
market.
Pepper is not owned by either Coke or Pepsi, but
by the
distributor could be. It's owned by the Dr. Pepper.
You go to the Dr. Pepper Museum in Waco, Texas. I used to have a Dr. Pepper cap from there.
My dad used to joke that when you walked into the Dr. Pepper offices in Frisco, Texas, that my picture was on the wall.
Like and when did you start drinking Dr. Pepper?
My
birth?
Three. I remember vivid. Like it's like one of my earliest memories is I was kicking and screaming because we were out of Coke, and all we had at the house was Dr. Pepper, and I had to drink that one night, and I was just
pitching revelation.
A fit, and then I was like, it was like I saw the face of God.
One of America's greatest corporate products is the Dr. Pepper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really? Why do you say that?
It's because it's delicious.
It's got everything.
Do you like it better than Coke?
A good Coke is really good. A good Coca-Cola is really good, especially like over ice. Either a good fountain Coke or a good like, you know, bottled Mexican Coke. Like good Coca-Cola, cold Coke in the right moment, like it's hard to be beat. But day in, day out, like a Dr. Pepper only tastes like itself. Like Mr. Pibb to me does not taste like a Dr. Pepper.
Is Dr. Pepper
delicious?
It's been
yes.
long since I've had one. Maybe I'll go have one. If people suggest I do something, I do it. So the other day, I was saying chicken nuggets at McDonald's are horrific. Horrific.
Yeah, it's not even really
chicken. Horrific. And Jeffrey started
it's like an imitation.
You got to go to the one just down here on Quince. They're fresh and hot and whatever. And literally I went there, and they're still not good.
But if they're fresh and hot, it makes a big, big difference.
Huge difference. And the one on Quince is the one that, like, my fries are always hot, my nuggets are always hot. But the half-life of a chicken McNugget is like 6 seconds.
So I may now have to go drink a Dr. Pepper. Is not a Dr. Pepper a lot like a cherry Coke? Is that what it is, sort of?
No.
I mean, is that the flavor profile?
It's got 23 flavors, Jeff.
Yeah, it's like it's more mysterious than the 11 herbs and spices or whatever. I don't even know.
All right.
It's somewhere in the rough vicinity of like cherry Coke and root beer and that kind of stuff, but it only tastes like itself.
That's another infuriating thing. If I'll ask for Dr. Pepper and they're like, "We've got root beer." Those two things are not the same.
Right. Dr. Pepper only tastes like Dr. Pepper.
Do you drink Diet Dr. Pepper, Jeffrey, or do you drink Dr. Pepper?
Well, as I say, you being a diet guy, Diet Dr. Pepper should be in your lane because it is the diet drink that tastes the most like the regular. Drink
it has that reputation.
I see. Okay.
Why are there are people in my life who are diet Dr. Pepper devotees specifically.
Why are they switching from Pepsi to Coke?
It's apparently, I mean, the answer I got was like it was like a sponsorship level decision. It wasn't like we prefer Coke to Pepsi. At least right. That's not what they're going to say.
I just assume it's more money.
Yeah, probably right. So. But I do think, you know, if you polled the people in the arena.
More people would like Coke.
Yes. If put to a vote, Coke would have won the vote. And so I think, and one of the things I was told was that when they had their open practice last weekend, they had higher beverage sales at an open practice than they typically do at an open practice.
Interesting. Okay, so moving right along.
And you get Sprite instead of like whatever the imitation Sprites were in the past now.
That they changed the name.
So it went from Sierra Mist to Starry. But
Starry, that's what it's called then. Yes,
yeah, that was in the past. It's Sprite.
It was Sprite. What was it before Sierra Mist? Because it wasn't 7-Up. 7-Up's a different drink.
Was it a Fresca or something? I don't know.
I did appreciate that in all of this.
At FedEx Forum now, you can get a Sprite.
In today's piece, which is a complete rundown of these menu items, you included all the prices.
I included the prices when I had them. Right. I didn't have access to everything.
I was astounded that the spicy chicken sandwich at Chick-fil-A is a buck more than the regular chicken sandwich.
You got to pay for the heat, man. To me, it's worth a dollar. Worth a dollar.
Worth a dollar?
Yeah.
Jeffrey says that a regular Chick-fil-A, it's about 30 cents. The difference is about...
I don't know. I guess there's an upcharge.
So they didn't give you samples of the Chick-fil-A or the barbecued nachos. They're $14.99. What's your stance on the barbecue nachos? Do you ever get those?
Not frequently. I mean, I'm glad that we developed the barbecue nacho. It's a source of pride for the community. It's not necessarily what I would typically get. I don't like the nacho cheese goop.
How do you feel about the... Taco and Ganas, $5.99 taco.
I like Taco and Ganas' tacos. Again, they didn't sample that at the thing. I mean, with Chick-fil-A, they actually did Chick-fil-A for lunches for Media Day last week. So I guess we sort of sampled what it's going to be like in the arena. And guess what?
Did they
it
give
tasted
you the
like
box?
Chick-fil-A.
Did they give you the
they
box?
They gave the box with the sandwich and the chips and the cookie. Yeah. So I like Taco and Ganas' tacos. Will they be the same in this setting as they are at their trucks? I can't answer that, so I don't know. One thing I do, the Rockin' Dough Pizza, they are, unlike some of the pizza providers in the past, they are going to be cooking the pizzas in the building.
So
but that will not be the Chick-fil-A will not be doing that. They'll be cooking off-site and bringing them in, like, heated or whatever. But Rockin' Dough is going to, you know, they're bringing in the raw dough and they're cooking pizzas in the building.
So Rockin' Dough, it's $9 a slice, and your piece said they... Mid-year last year.
They came in like December or January and took
who
over.
Was it?
It'd been Slim and Huskies before.
Slim and Huskies before that.
There have been different pizza providers. Like Jets Pizza was in the building
for a while.
I think they've had their own like Levy, you know, restaurant pizza at some points. They've always had pizza, but the pizza provider has changed over the
How
years.
Do you feel about a Rockin' Dough slice?
I like Rockin' Dough. It's going to be like a big, thin slice, which to me is good for that setting. And I think Rockin' Dough's pizza is good. So I think that's a good partner for them.
So,
as concession stand stuff go, a big slice of pizza for $9, like not a bargain, but like, you know, if you're trying to get something for under $10, it can be.
Well, here's the problem. Obviously, if you're wanting bang for your buck, eat before you go.
100%.
But there is something fun about eating at your seat.
Yes.
Like, it's part of the, you know,
right.
And particularly if you bring kids or whatever else, let's go get something from the concession stand. So there's a joy to that.
Yeah. I'm typically the game of this media, but if I'm not, I'm more likely to eat before the game, but then get like a gelato or get kind of an ice cream cone or something like that at the game, which are both available.
Back?
Soft serve is available in multiple locations, and then the Ziomatto gelato cart will be there, but they're also going to try to add some of the gelato to the grab-and-go stations.
You mentioned a lot of grab-and-go stuff, right? And then there's also, on the terrace level, there's essentially a food court area?
Yeah, the big concession area up on the terrace level, they are converting into sort of a grab-and-go food court thing where there are physical people who will check you out, but you can basically sort of walk through the line and, like, grab a slice of pizza that's already boxed or grab a thing of wings or grab a thing of chicken tenders or whatever on your tray and bring it up, that kind of situation. Yeah.
Two things intrigued me. And obviously, they have then their own made stuff that they, you know, that
the bulk of the concessions is their in-house stuff. Yeah.
And that's... Burgers,
chicken tenders, hot dogs.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And are those going to be basically the same that they've had?
So they're creating sort of multiple levels. There's something they're calling the gourmet grill, and then there's just the grill.
Uh-huh.
And then there's something they're called classics. I'm a little confused on the difference between the grill and classics, but gourmet grill is different.
Uh-huh.
And so the chicken tenders at the gourmet grill, or they're calling them hand-breaded chicken tenders. And they are different, and they are better. I'm sure they're pricier, although I didn't see the prices on that. Then the, you know, the frozen out of the bag, throw it in chicken tenders that have been used to right. getting there. So I think at most stations, they'll have the same chicken tenders they've had before, but there's a quote unquote gourmet grill station right inside the main entrance. And then on the pinnacle level where the suites are is what, that's what they're going to do, where you can get like an upgraded upscale chicken tender, also an upscale burger. That's a little bit different from the regular burger.
Two things intrigued me. One is the baked potato.
Yeah, I like, I'm a baked potato fan. I like a baked potato. They're going to do, so it's a loaded baked potato cart up on the terrace level, and they'll, game to game will be a different, they'll have a different, like the one that they,
different
the
theme.
Yeah, well, the one that they sampled was like a chili, black bean chili, and then like a little part of a tamale on it. So, but they'll have different kinds of blackberries, baked potatoes game to game.
Do you get a baked potato? Wendy's is the only place that sells fast food baked. Wendy's
did the
baked potato, right?
I think that's right.
You do that at
Wendy's? My friend Jason in high school used to say Wendy's was almost like a real restaurant, mostly because it had baked potatoes instead of French fries. And so I wouldn't tend to do that like at a Wendy's, no, because if I'm getting fast food, I'm probably eating in my car,
right?
You know, and baked potato in the car doesn't really work.
I don't think it's instead of French fries. Wendy's also had French fries, but they also then.
But you're not going to get both.
Could you sub in your baked potato for fries at Wendy's?
Really? Again, probably an upcharge.
My grandmother used to hammer the Wendy's baked potato with Wendy's chili. I mean, just doubled up.
Okay, and then there's this something called the bowls. What are these bowls, and where are they available?
So the bowls are going to be used at least two different ways. These are sort of, you know, your classic, like, baseball thing where you get the ice cream out of the little plastic imitation helmet. baseball helmet. That concept, except it is like a half basketball, you know, so it's designed like a basketball, even has sort of the rippled, you know, texture to
pebbled,
it, like a basketball, but with like a grizzly bear claw underneath as sort of a base. So there are big ones, there are big ones, and then there are small ones. And there are two places I think you can get that. One is there are some nacho carts around the arena, and you can get like nachos in your little bowl.
With stuff on them, with the goop stuff.
Various nachos or whatever. But then down in like the fancy pants areas, like the event level and the pinnacle level, where they used to have like sandwich carving stations, they're going to do what they're calling the Memphis Big Bowl, where it's like the shareable, like, stuff that will be in these bowls. And the one that they're gonna have, I think, opening night, he said first game, surely that means opening night, not first preseason, but I don't know. The one that they sampled was like literally a bone-in pork shank, like a big honking pork shank with cheese grits and roasted vegetables. So they'll do different kind of,
but that's
more,
not available to Joe Fan, is it? You said, is that it just enough?
Well, Joe Fan, who has like floor seats or suites.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Joseph Fan.
Joseph Fan. Right. Yeah. Joseph Fan the third can get,
get
that, but I can't. Whatever. If you have, you're sitting on the terrace level, you can't get your bowl with your pork shank in it.
Right.
Anything else notable from your tour?
You know, I don't really do sweet stuff because I'm there as media, and in rare cases I'm not, I'm in a seat. But if you do sweets. So I guess the way sweets work, there's different sort of food packages you can select for your suite that night. And they're new, and I gathered this was new. I would have thought they'd already done this. But there's like a rendezvous package you can get. But they also have their own like internal stuff. And the one that they did as a sample was great. I whether it will continue to be this great, I don't. But for the sample day, it was great. And they called it a Southern Picnic Package. And like everything was delicious. There was it was like a Southern charcuterie platter, which was like, you know, pork and chicken andouille sausages and then and like pickled vegetables and whatever. But they had these different spreads, and I literally like accosted the chef to get the recipe he's going to send me for some of these spreads because I'm going to make them myself. But one of the spreads was like a sweet potato strawberry balsamic spread. The other was like a collard greens and cream cheese spread. They also did the fried chicken with a pepper mash, and they did like a pimento cheese mashed potatoes, and like it was all really, really good. So if I were going to a sweet and I would choosing options, I would check that out.
All right. Well, thus ends our food tour. And did they point out, by the way, the rigging stuff and whatever.
They did. And they had, it had been pointed out to me on Sunday when I was down on the court, and I just looked up and was like, sure, whatever. It just all looked black to me.
Right.
But once we went up to the terrace level, you could really see the difference. And the rigging thing used to be up at the top of the building, and they brought it down lower. There's a sort of grid that's lower that I gather makes it easier for concerts to set up. But the new sound system, and I didn't – if I hadn't been told there was a new sound system, right. I would not have noticed at the open practice there was a new sound system. But it is a new – the sound system that they replaced was original to the building.
Right.
So this new sound system they're putting in is the first new sound system, you know, in 20 years or whatever.
Yeah. And we got a bunch of concerts coming up, too, right? Isn't there a bunch?
Yeah, the building has been dormant through the summer because of this work that was being done on the rigging and the sound. So now they're open for business again. And so Maxwell, R&B singer, is playing this month. Justin Timberlake is next month. This guy Billy Strings is in December. And there's a few other concerts around those, too.
All right. I want to get to your movie piece that you wrote here in just a second. There was, I don't know if you've seen the general managers survey over at NBA.com. I don't want to get into all of it because I don't have time, but just in terms of the predictions, when are you going to do your predictions? What are you going to do for predictions?
Probably in the next week.
And do you do over on, like what?
I don't do over. I do record predictions, but I don't call them over on. I don't call them over on. I will do a few sentence of observations and a record prediction for every team. And then I'll go ahead, although I don't really care about it, I'll go ahead and make predictions for like awards and winners and all that at the end. What I've really decided is that preseason picks for like the NBA finals are dumb because who's going to be healthy, how are teams going to change.
Right.
To me, preseason predictions for regular season records makes sense.
Right.
And then making your NBA finals predictions at the eve of the playoffs makes sense. I don't really care about that. I'll make one, but I don't really care about predicting a champion before the season starts.
I mean, we were just talking about this with Jeff.
No, I wouldn't predict Dallas to make the finals, but once we get to the playoffs, I thought Dallas was gonna go further.
And they became so transformed at the trade deadline that was...
So who knows right now?
And even regular season predictions, and maybe it was always thus, the injury stuff, like, take the Suns. Who the hell knows? Like, what
sure.
What, right? I mean, that's where Jeffrey sort of drew the line when I asked him about the Suns. He's like, how much are they going to play?
Kevin Durant and Yusuf Nurkic both played 70-plus games last season.
Wow.
I'm taking the under on that this season. But on the other hand, like, they have real point guards now.
Yeah.
And the head coaching change may help. And so, which way do you go with those different data points?
So the general managers, Oklahoma City was the clear favorite in the West. And then... Minnesota, Denver, and Dallas were next in that order, fairly closely bunched. Then Phoenix, and then Memphis. Seems reasonable to you?
Yeah, I think that's all reasonable. We'll see if I change my mind in the next week before I write. But I think I was higher on Denver a couple years ago than most people, than the consensus. I think I'm lower on Denver this season than the consensus. I have some real concerns about Denver.
All right. You did write about the films that are opening this week, as you do every week now over at the Daily Memphian, and we got a couple of throwbacks. Saturday Night is the Saturday Night Live film about the filming the first episode of Saturday Night Live back in 1975.
Yeah, the launch of that show, which at the time was not called Saturday Night Live. It was just called Saturday Night. Welcome to New York. It's Saturday Night, right? And so I don't know what point the live got added to the name, but when it debuted, it was just called Saturday Night. And it's about the first night, the first broadcast of that. And so it's all these young actors, like, you know, doing Chevy Chase and Gilda Radner and John Belushi and all that.
Same guy who did Air and...
Up in the Air.
Up in the Air.
And Juno and various other things. He has not been as successful of late. He's been doing, like, you know, Ghostbusters remakes or whatever. But Jason Reitman has some good movies in his repertoire, so we'll see if this is another one.
Have you been over the years an avid... watcher of Saturday Night, and do you have an era that you particularly recall?
Well,
as glorious?
A kid, it was, and I'm of the Eddie Murphy generation,
right?
And Eddie Murphy was like 19 or something when we started on Saturday Night Live. Young Eddie Murphy was like a rocket, just boom, everything. I mean, he was such an explosive talent in that moment. Like, I think anyone who grew up in the 80s, like, you remember that. I am not someone who like cared. Like, once I became a teenager, I wasn't like a lot of TV stuff. And so it's not something that I've like made a point at Saturday Night. You got to watch Saturday Night Live. At this point, it's like you see clips on Twitter or whatever.
Well, it feels like it's mostly consumed. I now watch like two or three, whatever. If it, you know, whatever from this past Saturday, which I thought was kind of weak, I watched probably the cold open, and I watched the monologue, and maybe. Oh, and I watched Weekend Update. That's it.
I certainly, of all the stuff over the years, I mean, I'm conversant in all of it. Of all the stuff over the years, like the vibe is the early stuff is like the vibe that I'm more my vibe. The Gilda Radner, the Bill Murray who came in the second season, that kind of like scuzzier countercultural vibe to me is more interesting than like the later
Ghost and, right.
Yeah,
right,
the later stuff. The Tina Fey, Amy Poehler era of the. And the Norm Macdonald era, which was a different era of the Weekend Update, would probably be my favorite.
Yeah.
So I would take like the cast members of the early stuff, throw in Eddie Murphy, and give me some of the later Weekend Update. That would be my fantasy Saturday Night Live.
So, but Saturday Night is, that's wide release, right? As is this Apprentice movie, which is about Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's about, and to me, I don't know whether this movie will be good or not. And obviously, depending on your political leanings, it may annoy you or not. But to me, if you're going to make a Donald Trump movie right now, this seems like the right one to make. It's about his relationship with the lawyer Roy Cohn as a young professional getting his career started in New York in the 70s and early 80s, and about how that relationship sort of crafted him to sort of approach the world the way he approaches the world.
And then
Jeremy Strong, who was great in Succession, plays Roy Cohn in this.
And then two other films, older films, being whatever, the Psycho, Saturday at Crosstown. I did watch your Alfred Hitchcock that you embedded, his tour of the movie, essentially, that you embedded in your piece on this. That Saturday, and then Amadeus tonight at, no, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night at Crosstown.
Both at Crosstown. Both really good movies. But I mean, if you got nothing else to do, you're looking for something to do, like paying your $5 or whatever and going to a theater and watching one of those movies is like a good way to spend a couple hours. If I were not going to the Grizzlies game tomorrow night, I'd probably go see Amadeus. And if I were in Memphis, which I won't be because I'll be gone by then, I would 100% go and like take my kid to go see Psycho on the big screen.
But you indicated that it will, for the modern viewer, may seem slow.
Just that's the way like everything that's pre like 1980 seems to people, which is annoying to me. Yeah, I mean Psycho does not it's not like Scream. It doesn't open with a big murder scene in the first 2 minutes
and
rockets
you along.
Yeah, no, it sort of eases its way in, and it sort of, and people who saw it originally who had no idea what they were going to see, like it was really surprising to people. A, it was surprising narratively, like what happened, sort of. Who cares about spoilers of Psycho? Famously, like the person you think is the lead character is killed off halfway through the movie. Like the biggest star, the lead person you think the movie's about is gone halfway through the movie, which is something that didn't really happen before Psycho made it happen. And then like the shower scene, like, was deeply shocking to people at the time.
Yeah. That is Saturday night at Crosstown, and tomorrow night it's Amadeus, which I remember as being a really great film when I saw it, but I don't really remember much about it beyond that.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time, but it won like all the Oscars that year. And it's one of those movies that won all the Oscars that it's held up reputationally, right, which not all do.
All right, Chris, appreciate it. Thanks very much. We're going to take a break, talk to Sam Hardiman. When we return, Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Sam Hardiman on Twitter or X at Sam Hardiman. He writes about the city for the Daily Memphian. Sam, how are you?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. I read your piece earlier this week, Trauma Center Workers See Increase in Gun Violence Firsthand. And it is a fascinating piece. It's just kind of staggering, by the way, the fact that 1,400 of the past 3 years, 1,400 shootings, essentially. And then you have this quote from Dr. Andrew Kerwin, the head of trauma surgery at Regional 1. They don't realize that sometimes we're giving 20, 30, 40 units of blood, and then we finish the case, the floor is covered in blood, and our shoe covers are covered in blood, our gowns are soaked, Sometimes the blood soaks through the gowns and gets on our arms, said Dr. Andrew Kerwin. I'm curious, before I get into the numbers, talking to him, and then you talked as well to other medical professionals, including Dr. Regan Williams from Le Bonheur. Does he just sound exhausted, frustrated? What was the tone of that conversation when you were talking to Dr. Andrew Kerwin?
Yeah, I think those were the terms, exhausted, I would say, right? Like, these are the people, and to put it in context for the folks, you know, these people that work in our hospitals here in our trauma centers, I mean, they are the rocks in the dam, right? They are what are keeping, you know, hundreds more people from dying, right? Like, we have an unworldly homicide rate here in Memphis, Tennessee. Like, it's not good. These are the people that's keeping it from being higher, right? And so one of the stats that I'll just point out, because, I mean, he is exhausted. I mean, he's saying this to people, and he's saying this with this weariness because, you know, I think so much in Memphis, you know, it's just like it's the chaos of the nightly news every night, right? Like, if it bleeds, it leads. And I'm not impugning our friends in broadcast news. They do a good job. They have a very hard job, probably a harder job than what I have to do every day. But it's just like, that's it. Like, there's no follow-up. There's no contextualization of this. It's just, and then we just tune it out because it's just like, oh, it's just more chaos, it's more sadness, more despair. And these are the people that's keeping it from being worse, right? And so he was exhausted. And I'll just, you know, point out the stat before we get into other stats is, like, they're seeing, you know, 1,400, 1,500 patients every year, gunshot wound victims. And let's be clear, not all of them are coming from Memphis, Tennessee. These are regional trauma centers. So people are coming from the Boot Hill. They're coming from northern Mississippi. They're coming from eastern Arkansas. But what's really telling in these statistics, right, is, like, you know, every year it fluctuates, you know, and this is sort of like somebody's batting average. I hate to make it, you know, so sports-like, but if somebody's batting average, it's 9, 10, 12% mortality rate. Right? Like, that's the mortality rate. So that means, like, if you didn't have the skill and you didn't have the practice that these doctors get, you would have much higher mortality rates, right? And so what does that do to Memphis's homicide rate? What does that do to by homicide rate, you know, like, we reduce it to a rate. It's not QBR. It's, you know, it's not save percentage or anything like that. This is real people dying, right? And so it's just mind-boggling that, like, in the face of all this stress and this pain that they see and this trauma that they see, they're still able to succeed in such a way. And that's what was really struck me, is that these are really the people that are the rocks in the dam. They are what's keeping, you know, the trickle from being a flood.
And looking at the stats, and again, some of this was, you just looked at stats from the hospitals themselves, because we can discuss, you know, rates of violent crime, et cetera, as reported by individuals or reported by the police or the FBI. Here it actually seems like there's a certain authenticity when they're measuring people who come through their door. Like, they actually have numbers of how many people come through their door, and if someone's shot, they're going to come through the door. And so what's interesting to me is that up through 2019, you report, Memphis averaged fewer than 20 homicides every 30 days. And then in 2020, starting July 20th, 2020, it jumped to, instead of fewer than 20 every 30 days, to more than 40, average 42 over the past 30 days for that period, and basically has been up there ever since. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, I mean, it's been up there. There are fluctuations, right? There are peaks and valleys where maybe it goes down to 25, 26, you know, per 30 days, and then it will jump back up again. And, you know, there are times where, I mean, this is a rolling 30-day rate, and I don't know if people are, you know, still have repressed it from their minds, but the reason we did a rolling 30-day rate is we wanted to kind of have a chart that looked a lot like the charts we would see during COVID, where we had these 30-day, 60-day case rates, right? And they weren't, you know, they're not perfect. They're not perfect statistics, but they're a means of not just saying, oh, it's down this month versus last month, right? Or this month versus this time last year versus this year. It's a means of, because, you know, violence doesn't look at the calendar, Jeff. Like, you know, these actions don't happen, you know, because of the calendar. Oh, it's the first of the month. You know, there's going to be two homicides today. That's not how that works. And so it's just a means of, like, tracking over time. And yeah, we've just seen this explosion. we've just seen, and you can see it in the Regional 1 statistics, you can see it in the Bonner statistics, and my colleague at Denham Epi, who does great graphics for us, Kelsey Bowen, did such a great job. So if you check out this article, really the value in the article to me is these charts that she created. And essentially it just shows that, like, you know, the people who die are that mortality rate I was just talking about. It also, the charts we have show that, you know, the traffic coming through the door in terms of gunshots and gunshot wound victims. And that is just, that's also exploded in the past 3 years.
So I was intrigued when people trying to explain why this happened. There's a lot of COVID, like there's a lot of conversation about COVID, and there's a lot of statistics from Memphis and beyond that suggest the disruption of COVID and this cohort of young folks who came through without support, without school, without whatever, that is a big part of this. Is that an explanation that a lot of people point to?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just this, you know, I talked to, you know, an expert with the Brennan Center, which is, you know, an attachment and appendage of New York University, you know, the expert there, Ames Grauert, who I spoke with, certainly noted that was why, you know, the United States, you know, really in 2022 saw this growth in violent crime. In 2021, 2022 saw this growth in violent crime. And, you know, certainly maybe has a representation here. I mean, Dr. Regan Williams at the Bonner, you know, she noted, and she, I mean, they see the kids, okay? They're seeing the kids. You know, most of their patients are going to be below 15 years old. They're certainly not, you know, these 18-year-olds. We're talking about, you know, young teenagers, right? And, you know, she essentially said the kids were out of school, and she noted how long, you know, Memphis Shelby County school students were out of school. They were out of school for a period of almost 18 months, right? And so, you know, we've talked as a society a lot about a learning loss and all that, but, like, it's also had effect on, you know, the actual rates of people being harmed. And, you know, traditionally, you know, trauma centers see when kids are out of school just more accidents, you know, kids falling off of bicycles, right?
Right.
So it would stand to reason this would also happen here, you know?
Okay, and then finally, the gun laws are addressed in the piece, and you sort of had different perspectives on this. Dr. Williams, who you referred to from Le Bonner, he said he believes there is a correlation between the open carry law, the number of firearm injuries that they've had at Le Bonner.
Dr. Kerwin from Region 1, yeah. Region 1.
Is that Dr. Kerwin? And then, well, that quote is attributed to Williams, Dr. Williams, but whatever. Either
well,
one,
to it both. Seems both, like, both
yeah,
said
they
it.
Both,
yeah,
yeah, they yeah. both said that. And, but then there's a study from the RAND Corporation that suggests, maybe not so much.
Yeah, you know, this is, again, like, and I've said this a lot in, like, appearances on this program, but, you know, you see, you have these experts who are treating this trauma, right? And, you know, on July 1st, 2021, open carry, permitless carry became legal in Tennessee, right? And so that definitely happened, and we see statistics exploding before that. Let's be clear, like, gunshot wound victims were going up in 2020 before this took effect, but this elevated rate has persisted since then in Memphis, Tennessee. And so you have these experts who believe there's a correlation, and, you know, they're experts. You know, they see this every day. There's probably a reason they think that. At the same time, on the sort of objective bird's eye view level, you know, there's a lot of study of gun policy in this country. And what the RAND Corporation, the RAND Institute in this case, has found is it's very hard to draw, you know, a direct, you know, causation effect here. And at the same time, right, like, this is very fraught, it's very political, there are probably a ton of people listening right now that are
mad, everyone's mad
one way or the other about
one
this.
Way or another,
everyone's mad, like, what it is, and I've said, like, to what I began that long preface was saying, I've said it a lot of times in the program, in democracy, in public health, in public policy, we do not have these clear statistics like we do with earned run average, with quarterback rating, completion percentage, right? Like, sack rate, we don't have these clear things where we can say, because of this, this happens, right? And that's one of the really tricky things, and particularly when politics then get involved, that obscures all this. And so I sort of long for a time where we have someone like Rand is coming to us and saying, we actually have real data here,
right?
You know, because I'm looking for that, because, like, there has to be some connection, but it can't be all the reason.
Right.
And so it's very interesting.
You can read the piece over at the Daily Memphi. And also, Sam, you wrote about XAI leasing 552 acres, and I got to be fairly quick here, for Memphis expansion. Well, that was pretty stunning. That's a lot of acres. And I guess the question I had is, do we know what those acres are going to be used for? And is it possible that in addition to being a place to have more computers, it will mean more other stuff around the computers is happening that involve actual people and more, you know, more economic activity in Memphis outside of the worrying of computers?
Yeah, I would say yes to both of those things. It's going to be a lot of computers. It's going to be a lot more, you know, very valuable, you know, semiconductor chips that are going to be running large language models in Memphis, Tennessee, and using a lot of power to do so. But, you know, a person close to the company has told the Daily Memphian, there are plans for a education center here. There's plans for an engineering hub here, because when you have all this infrastructure here, you're going to need more jobs. I mean, the company has probably hired, you know, 100-plus people in Memphis, Tennessee thus far, and from the surrounding area, it's probably going to be a decent amount more than that. And also, because you're making this place a permanent base of operations, like, you don't make this investment and it just vanishes overnight. It may vanish overnight because there may not be business case for what AI is doing, and that is something maybe we can cover in the future. It's not going to vanish instantly. When you have this, you're going to need more bodies, and you're going to not want to just import some of the high-end talent that it takes to run artificial intelligence, because there is a lot of high-end computer engineering talent that's needed here. You're going to have to grow some of that talent, and I think this lease, you know, this 552 acres, not all that's going to get swallowed up. There's some wetlands that need to be protected here, but that's going to bring more jobs, certainly.
All right. Sam, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
Sam Heidemann from the Daily Memphian. You could read both those pieces over at the Daily Memphian. Sam is, and the rest of the folks over there in news, essential reading here in Memphis, Tennessee. We got to take a break in a moment. I will remind you again, Jeffrey, cold snap in the air this morning when you left your house, wasn't there? Weren't you wishing you had a quarter zip for MoCall?
Well, I have one, actually, Jeff.
Are you actually wearing
I'm
right
actually
now?
Wearing one.
Wearing right
for
now
that exact reason.
A quarter zip from MoCall. Stylish, comfortable, warm, cozy, beautiful, all those things. And they have quarter zips in the official collegiate colors of your favorite football team. Not some big garish logo, but they got, you want to be wearing Ole Miss colors. You want to be wearing Tennessee colors. You want to be wearing University of Memphis colors, Alabama colors. Listen, just one loss to Vandy. Just one loss. You can still proudly wear your Alabama colors, Arkansas, etc. Official collegiate line, both for in hoodies and in quarter zips. But this is a great weekend to get to Oak Hall. Fall weekends always are, and they've got all the beautiful outerwear and quarter zips and everything else. It's a great time to shop with our friends at Oak Hall. Clothes are beautiful. The secret sauce is the people. We've got to take a break. Back in a moment, 92.9 FM ESPN. Let's see. Thursday, we got 49ers at Seahawks. Jeffrey, that's your Thursday night football game. How are you feeling about that one?
Joey Bosa has declared the game a must win.
Joey Bosa has declared the game a must win. You can wager on it over at FanDuel, of course. And right now, new customers bet $5, get $300 in bonus bets if they win. That's right. A measly $5 bet if you win $300 in bonus bets. Put together your own same game parlay. Kenneth Walker, he's from the Memphis area. Anytime touchdown. Include that in your same game parlay, whatever. FanDuel.com/Calkins. That's how you sign up. C-A-L-K-I-N-S. That's the promo code. C-A-L-K-I-N-S. FanDuel is, of course, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable. Bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Jeffrey, we got new Texans news. What's the Texans news?
Indeed,
Jeffrey,
Nico Collins is headed to IR, so that means he'll be out for at least 4 weeks.
We had a couple of the baseball continues to be fascinating.
Yes,
we got two more games today.
No, all four today.
All four today. I'm sorry,
yep.
But two are tied. We got two series that are tied that are playing today. Those are both Cleveland and Detroit and Yankees Royals.
Correct.
And then the Padres, Fernando Tatis is enjoying the postseason for the first time ever. Four home runs in five games.
I don't know if the Pirates are enjoying the postseason with Fernando Tatis.
Padres 6-5 over the Dodgers. Mets route the Phillies. Mets and Padres lead each of those series 2-1. We also had two sports deaths yesterday, Jeffrey. Greg Landry, you familiar with his work?
I was not familiar with his work. I didn't know the...
I knew Greg Landry because, again, 70s. Fine quarterback for the Detroit Lions.
Don't say that too often.
Yeah. It was a long time before they got to Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
Really. And then Louis Tiant, you familiar with his work?
No, I did know Danielson played for them, right? Was he in between
Gary
those
Danielson,
guys?
Yeah. Louis Tiant, a tremendous pitcher for most notably the Boston Red Sox, that Carlton Fisk game, right? The Carlton Fisk game. He started that game. He'd actually, in that series, he got a shutout in game one and a complete game victory, 5-4 in game four, and then started game six, the one with Carlton Fisk blowing the home run, waving the home run fair. Fascinating story. He grew up in Cuba, did Louis Tiant, and used to play, you know, some in the U.S. and then some in Mexico, or then you go back to Cuba every summer. And then there was the Bay of Pigs in 1961, and his family said, don't come back after that. And so he didn't go back until 2007, from 1961 to 2007. As a major league pitcher, 187 complete games.
Seems effective.
187 complete
games. That's an innings eater.
49 shutouts. That year that Denny McClain won 31 games, Bob Gibson had the microscopic ERA of 1.12. He was 21-9 with an ERA of 1.60. But most famous, I think, for his 106 games with the Red Sox. R.I.P. Louis Tiant. Jeffrey, what's coming up next on 92.9?
Here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Gabe is going to join John at 11:25. We will have Kevin Cerrito in studio today on Jeffrey Wright & Company. We'll have C.J. Hurt with us during hour number two. Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back tomorrow. Thinking of those folks in Florida today and tonight as Milton comes ashore. For now, our work is done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.